Hi, this is Paul Chappell here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you again for tuning in to this podcast. I am very excited about this series, Power for Life. The series begins with the resurrection, but then the Lord Jesus promised after he ascended into heaven that the Spirit of God would descend and that we would be born again by the Spirit. And so throughout this study, we're learning about the power of God and the power of God's Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. I trust that this series will encourage you, will help you to have a greater desire to walk not in your strength or in mine, but in the power of God through His Spirit. So let's open our Bibles and get into today's message. May God richly bless you. Today we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians 3 and learn that He has power to give liberty to the individual and even to a nation. And I trust that your heart will be encouraged as we continue learning about the power of God's Holy Spirit today. Let's stand together out of reverence to the Word of God. And I like the title of that song we just heard, We Hold These Truths. How many of you know when you hold the Bible, you're holding eternal truth? And I was just teaching our new members class just a few moments ago. And what a blessing to be in there with about 50 or 60 new members and talking to them about some of the distinctives. What is a Baptist? And our very first distinctive is that we believe the Bible is God's final authority for our lives and for our church. And not a denomination and not the word of some religious leader, but the Bible itself is the truth. It's infallible and preserved for us today. So I'm glad we can open God's word this morning and learn about the power of His Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 and 18, we'll find our text this morning. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord shall we pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the infallible Word of God. We thank you that we live in a nation where our many principles of the foundational principles of this nation were derived from this very book we hold this morning. And I pray that you would speak to our hearts today and tender our hearts towards you and help us to learn more of the liberty we have in Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One of the most amazing thoughts for me to ponder as an American and as a Christian is this simple fact that you can live in the land of the free and yet not be free. You can have a lot of freedom. You can have the freedom of speech, and you can have the freedom to go out and work and make a buck, and you can have the freedom to vote and to serve in various capacities. But if you do not truly know the Lord, if you're in the bondage of sin, then you may not have the freedom that truly God intends for you to enjoy. Many are incarcerated today. Many are under the bondage of alcohol and drugs and anger and hatred. And while they live in a free land, there is no freedom in their heart. And so the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, that is where real liberty and freedom can be found. Today we're going to learn in the Bible that our national and personal freedom depends upon how we respond to the truth of God and how we respond to the person of the Godhead that indwells the believer whose name is the Holy Spirit of God. I believe it was John Adams, our second president, who said, July 4th ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. Our founders understood that this nation became a nation because of the mighty hand of God, and that we should thank Him and rejoice in His goodness to our nation. Thomas Jefferson wrote these words, and they are found at the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C. God who gave us life gave us liberty. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis? A conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are a gift from God? That they are not to be violated, but to receive His wrath? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that His justice cannot sleep forever. Our founders believed that God was the giver of liberty, and that when we as a nation neglect God and turn our back on God, that indeed our liberties will be less and less and less. President Ronald Reagan in 1982 gave this announcement in a radio address. He said, "My fellow Americans, 206 years ago, one of history's greatest adventures began when a small band of patriots in Philadelphia resolved to stake their all, their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor for freedom and independence. On that distant day, America was born. Our country has been an inspiration for free men and women around the world ever since. The scriptures tell us, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And for more than two centuries now, our blessed land has grown and prospered, guided by a deep faith in the Almighty and an unquenchable thirst for freedom." You see, many of our founders and many of our God-fearing leaders over the years have understood that freedom is a gift from God Almighty. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, that's where freedom can be found. Now, when you open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapters 3 and 4, you're going to find this chapter speaking of the relationship between the Old and the New Testament message of the law and grace. And it's going to show that in the New Testament, the Spirit of the Lord has unveiled the truths about Jesus Christ, truths that many in the Old Testament did not fully comprehend, and that it was by this unveiling of the Holy Spirit that men and women heard of Christ and understood Him to be the Messiah and received the liberty and the forgiveness that only Jesus Christ can give. Paul the Apostle in this passage is showing that the law of the Old Testament was not the way of salvation, but it showed our need for salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. It showed that all of us cannot find liberty merely through the Old Testament law, but through salvation that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible summarizes that in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17 when it says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Spiritual freedom is a gift from God Almighty, and where that spiritual freedom through Christ abounds, spiritual freedom becomes freedom in the land. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I heard of a preschool teacher who was approaching the 4th of July time, and she wanted her students to learn more about patriotism and about freedom. And she said, "Boys and girls, we're going to celebrate a special holiday that reminds all of us that we are free. All of us have freedom, and we are free." And while she was speaking, one of her 4-year-old students walked up to her, and his name was Trevor. He walked up to the teacher. He said, "Miss Phelps, you need to understand, I am not free. I am four." Now, even in this great land with a lot of our freedom, there are some folks that can get frustrated and speak out their mind as well. And that in itself is one of our freedoms. But you know, the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I want you to learn with me in these next few moments about the liberty that comes from God's Spirit into the life of every believer. If you have your outline this morning, notice first of all, there is liberty in salvation. There is liberty in salvation. I want you to see that, if you would, as we read in verse number 18 of our text. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from the glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now, there is liberty in salvation, first of all, because we are taught by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God uses the Bible, the Word of God, to show us the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible speaks of that in verse 18. It says, "With an open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord." And here we see the Holy Spirit teaches us and guides us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who opens our understanding concerning Christ. And the Bible, which is sometimes spoken of as the perfect law of liberty, is like a mirror showing us our need for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He is the one who unveils the truth of Christ to us. And as the Old Testament had the law, and many times the Old Testament Jews did not understand the teachings of the coming Messiah, the Holy Spirit unveiled that truth. Notice it says in verse 18, it says, "But we all with an open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." You see, the Bible says that we all have been changed by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of God. We are changed from glory to glory, referencing in this context from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Change came by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now notice what it says there in 2 Corinthians 3:14. It says, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." So the veil that sometimes people could not see through was removed by the Holy Spirit, and they understood who Jesus was. And that's what is meant when it says in verse 18, "even as by the Spirit of the Lord." 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God," notice this, "hath revealed them unto us." How? "By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Now, what's our theme this year? Remind me real quickly. By his Spirit. And so salvation begins by his Spirit. We are changed from glory to glory, verse 18 says, "as by the Spirit of the Lord." And once the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us and we are saved, then we can grow in our understanding of the Word of God by his Spirit, who teaches us and who guides us into the truth. And so we are taught by the Spirit. Notice, secondly, we are changed by the Spirit. We are changed by the Spirit. Do you see that in verse 18? It says, "We all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord," speaking of the Word of God, "are changed into that same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of God." The word "change" there in the Greek is an interesting word, metamorpho. It's the Greek word for metamorphosis, and it simply means we are changed from the inside out. So the Holy Spirit teaches us that we need Christ, and when we receive Christ as our Savior, we are changed from the inside out. How many of you understand that new birth, that inside to outside change, is a miracle from God? Well, you can take a teenager and you can try to change him from the outside. You can threaten him within an inch of his life. You can tell him that he's going to lose every privilege. You can try the opposite. You can try to buy him off and tell him if he does real well, you'll give him presents and buy him all kinds of clothes. And you can restrict and you can bless and you can try all these things. And yet many times their behavior never seems to change. But you know what? You take that same teenager and you let him accept Jesus Christ as his Savior, and suddenly everything changes. He is changed from the inside out. Now he wants to do what is right. Now he wants to be in the house of God. Now he wants to obey his parents. Why? Because he's been metamorphosized, born again by the Holy Spirit of God. From a child of this world, he becomes a child of God. From a condemned individual, he becomes a forgiven individual. Romans 8:2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Jesus said in John 3, "Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And the Apostle Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new." What I'm saying this morning is that if you want liberty, you'll find liberty in salvation. The old ways of bondage that held you back are dropped off, and the chains fall to the ground. And now there is new life in the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Spirit of the Lord is at work. And when the Holy Spirit is showing you that we need to be changed and that Jesus is that change agent, the Son of God who can forgive our sin, when we receive Christ as our Savior, then we begin to live in the liberty that Jesus Christ brings. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But notice, if you would, secondly, there is not only liberty in salvation, there is liberty in service. there is liberty in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many times people view serving the Lord as just the opposite of liberty. They view serving the Lord as kind of a bondage, like, I got to go to church, or I got to work in the nursery, or I've got to do this or that. But the fact of the matter is that when you truly understand what Christ has done for you, He has liberated us not to serve ourselves, but that we might serve Him. And there truly is liberty in serving. Now you say, Pastor Chappell, are you just trying to get us to do stuff? Or where did you come up with this notion? Well, let's look at the Bible, all right? Notice chapter 4 and verse 1 here. We know that verse 18 speaks about salvation, metamorphosis, being changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. But notice, if you would, in verse 1 of chapter 4. What's the very first word there this morning? Therefore. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Now someone says, whoa, we went from being born again to getting in the ministry. Where's Bible college in there? You know, where's seminary in there? And here is one of the great truths of the Christian life, and that is that we have been saved to serve. Paul said, therefore, now that I'm saved, I'm in the ministry. Now that I'm a Christian, I have the opportunity and the liberty to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us are saved to serve. Most of you know Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, for by grace are you what? Saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. But what does verse 10 say? It's in your notes, Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So the Bible says that God saved us. Yes, that means forgiveness. That means a home in heaven. But while we're here on this earth, it says, He has created us as His workmanship, created unto good works. And so serving the Lord is one of the great joys of a born-again Christian. Whether it's witnessing, whether it's preaching in the rest homes, as many of our men are doing this morning, driving a bus for underprivileged children, whatever it is, my friend, part of the Christian life is serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have learned that when someone is truly saved and they have been liberated from sin, there is a desire in their heart to serve the King of Kings, the one who died for them. And they'll find a way to get that done. I heard of a lady last Christmas time that was with the Salvation Army, and she was downtown in another town ringing her bell. And a police officer came up to her and said, excuse me, ma'am, but we have an ordinance here that you can't ring the bell in this particular location. And it kind of crushed her. She had a tear in the corner of her eye when the man walked off. She wondered about the legality of the ordinance. She didn't really know what to do and was a little frustrated. But the next day, the officer rounded the corner. There was the same woman. There was a tremendous line of people coming and placing money in her little kettle. And he walked up to see what was going on. When he looked a little closer, she had two signs in her hand. One said ding and one said dong. And she had found a way to get her job done. You know what? When you love somebody, you're going to find a way to get the job done. And the love for the Lord Jesus Christ is what comes into the liberated soul, is a heart to serve Him. Service begins with salvation. Secondly, service in the Christian realm will always state the truth. It will always state the truth. Now notice this in verse 2. This is a powerful verse, and I want you to see it, speaking about liberty and serving Christ. It says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now here we see that the Apostle Paul speaks of his salvation. Now he speaks of his service for the Lord. And he says, as I serve the Lord, he says, I'm renouncing the things of dishonesty. And he says, I'm not walking in craftiness like false teachers. But he says, my life is a faithful testimony so that people who observe me, their conscience tells them and testifies to them, there is something different about my life. His life was a life truly given over to the truth. And a Christian service will renounce the heresies and the lies that are about in society and will speak the truth. Notice that again. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Now, how many of you believe that the devil is a liar? Notice what the Bible says, in fact, in verse 4 in your Bible there. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. You know, this may sound very simple, but for the sake of time, how many of you have recognized there's millions of people in this world who are not followers of Christ? And many of them are good people and sometimes even religious people, but for whatever reason, they just don't see Jesus like you see it. And the Bible indicates that there is someone who has blinded their eyes. And whenever we come across blinding philosophies, there should be a loving approach to, in the spirit of Christian service, sharing the truth with those who need to hear what the Bible says. And not walking in craftiness or dishonesty, but speaking the truth in love. Why? Look at verse 3. It says, because if the gospel is hid, that is, if I keep the light under the bush, and if I don't share the truth, then it's hid to people that are lost, people who need to be set free, if we hide the truth of the gospel. And so we must recognize our responsibility to state the truth of the gospel. Notice what it says in your notes there concerning the devil as a liar. It says that in verse Revelation 12 and verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, notice, which deceiveth the whole world. Ephesians 2:2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Folks, we don't have time to go through all the lies of the devil. But now that we have been liberated through salvation, and now that we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to serve the Lord in truth, and we need to renounce those things which are wrong and false, and we need to speak the truth, because there are lost people in this world whose eyes are blinded by the wicked one, and they need to see the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone referred me to a book lately written by the Dalai Lama. And many politicians in Washington and many Hollywood stars and so forth, they love to flock to people that are of this Buddhist or Middle Eastern philosophy and so forth, and listen to the talks that are given. And yet sometimes when you compare them to the light of the gospel, it is unbelievable what is said. And in this new book, which is entitled Toward a True Kinship of Faiths, and the subtitle, On the Path Toward a World Religion. By the way, if you want some insight to that, get some of the messages from last fall from the series Times Are Changing off the internet. But the fact of the matter is that in this book, which is about the unification of all faiths, the Dalai Lama said, and I quote, in other words, one can be a religious pluralist, yet maintain for oneself the doctrinal aspects of one's own tradition as representing definitive truth. In other words, you can believe that all the religions of the world are right and that your religion is right and it all still works out. My friend, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus said, broad is the road of destruction, straight is the way of salvation, and we must recognize this morning, you can't give credence and say, all these are right, and this is right. Jesus said it himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And a Christian servant speaks the truth in love, and a Christian servant renounces the hidden things of dishonesty. Why? Because if we hide the gospel by saying Jesus is just a part of this big pluralistic concept of all roads leading to heaven, we're hiding the gospel for the people who need it the most. And so a Christian servant renounces the lies of Satan, and a Christian servant lives out the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's liberty in salvation. That's when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is liberty in serving. Some of you might remember the phrase quoted by a great politician years ago who said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. How many remember that? But you know, a lot of times people come to church with this idea, what can the church do for me? Or what can God do for me? And by the way, if you're here today in need, we don't care how you got here. We're just glad you're here today. And tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, we have a prayer meeting for the unemployed. And some are from our church, some are not. We have donuts and pass out some job referrals. And if you have needs, this is a great place to try to get headed in the right direction. But let me tell you something. It is a sign of maturity when you come to the place in your faith when you say, Lord, you have saved me, forgiven me, and your Spirit has given me liberty. Now, Lord, how can I serve you? It's not just about what the Lord can give me, but how can I serve Him? There is liberty in salvation. There is liberty in serving the Lord in spirit and in truth. I must hasten. Notice, if you would, thirdly, there is liberty in the Scriptures. Liberty in the Scriptures. We find liberty in salvation through Jesus Christ. There is liberty in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not bondage, it is a joy. And may I say thirdly, there is liberty in the Word of God. Now many unbelievers and Bible deniers today say, oh, the Bible will hold you down, and why? It's kind of repressive and so forth. But you know, the Bible is actually the perfect law of liberty. You see, when you follow the laws, there will be liberty. When you follow the teachings of the Word of God, there will be liberty. Notice what it says there in verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, speaking of the Bible, and continuing therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That doesn't sound like bondage to me. That sounds like blessing. When we follow this book of liberty, you say, I thought it was a book of law. It is. And when we follow the laws of God, there is liberty. And in America, as we follow the laws of God, there will be liberty. And the Bible says it is a perfect law of liberty that guides and directs our steps. And I believe it's amazing to see how our forefathers studied the Word of God and how it became the foundation for so many things that we're just accustomed to today. For example, in 1787 at the Constitutional Convention, James Madison proposed a plan to divide the government into three branches. And as he made that proposal, he said it was based upon Isaiah 33:22, which says this, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our King, He will save us." Three branches of government. We have the judges, we have the lawgivers in Congress, and we have the King. And it was from that verse that James Madison proposed, and the concept of three branches were accepted. That is why it is absolutely ludicrous for unbelieving senators to diminish and downplay the idea of asking a potential Supreme Court justice for her opinion on subjects that are from the Bible, such as the origin of life or the meaning of the family. It is absolutely relevant to find out, does this person even remotely respect the heart of the founders who, from the Bible, got these ideas to have a democratic government, to have three branches of government, and to have a Declaration of Independence with biblical language? Is it ridiculous that they would ask questions concerning biblical origins of our country or beliefs in our country? Absolutely not. It is relevant in the extreme. And every great man or woman of God in this nation has recognized the importance of the Scriptures and the importance of finding liberty, not from running from the Bible, but by hearing what the Bible says. George Washington Carver, back in the 1930s, said this, and I think it's a wonderful statement. The secret of my success, it is simple. It is found in the Bible. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. What a tragedy today that while many would preach various topics of interest, they have turned away from the preaching of the Bible, and yet great and successful Americans would say, it is the Bible that has guided and directed me to know the freedoms and successes that I enjoy in my life. Now, the meaning of Scripture can be centralized and focused in the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we close this morning, notice, first of all, the gospel provides deliverance. The gospel provides deliverance for us. Notice in verse number 3 what it says again. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Ephesians 5:8. For you were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. John Adams, our second president, said, and I quote, "The general principles upon which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and the attributes of God." You see, he did not give credence to the gods or to the pluralistic path, but he said, as a founder, we developed our core beliefs from Christianity and from the teachings of the Word of God. In fact, John Adams said, it is incumbent upon, it is the responsibility of the clergy to accommodate their discourses, to speak to the issues and sins of mankind in order to help this society. You see, our founders realized that we don't need less of the Scriptures to become a great nation. We need more of the Scriptures if we will have liberty. And when the Ten Commandments are taken out, and when the Bible is criticized, and when the name of Jesus is covered, then you will find not more liberty in America, but less and less liberty in America. You travel, as I have done, and as we've been to China, and you travel with others to Russia or Iran. You find those places where the light of the gospel is shining dimly, and you'll find less and less liberty. But you travel to those places where the Bible has been preached, and where Jesus has been lifted up, and you'll find more and more liberty in those places. You see, the Scriptures show us the way to deliverance through the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice the gospel not only provides deliverance, the gospel presents Christ. You see, at the centerpiece of the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Now let's look at verse 4. Notice, please. In whom the God of this world, speaking of Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Watch this. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, the gospel is centered around Jesus Christ. And Paul said, hey, this isn't about us. This is about Jesus Christ, the Savior. The gospel is spoken of in verse 4 as a light, the light of the glorious gospel. And the light of the gospel reveals who Jesus is. And in verse 4, it says who he is. It says, he is the image of God, Jesus Christ, the image of God. Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being, notice what it says there in your notes, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal God. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, came to this earth. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a perfectly sinless life. And then he shed his blood on the cross so that all of us might have liberty. And the Spirit of the Lord shows us who Christ is. And when we trust Christ as our Savior, we have forgiveness and liberty through him. Now, I pause on days like today, and I think about our veterans, and I thank all of you who've served in our armed forces and who are currently serving. And I think about the price of freedom, and many people like myself who have never been in a foxhole, maybe next to someone who was wounded or who died there, many of us probably can't fully comprehend the price that has been paid. But all of us endeavor to understand, and all of us would agree, the price for our freedom has been a great price. Hundreds of thousands have given their lives for the freedom we enjoy at this very moment. But at the same time, we pause this morning to realize that even as our freedom has come at the price of the blood of fellow citizens, the liberty that we know in Christ has been given to us because he went to the cross of Calvary, and as the Son of God, he shed his blood, he paid the price, so that all who believe in Jesus Christ can be forgiven, and they know that they are a part of the redeemed family of God, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, my friend, there is liberty in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. May we this morning never take for granted the freedom we have on this July 4th. May we give thanks to the Lord Jesus, but may we never forget the blood that he shed that we might have liberty in salvation, absolutely, in serving the Lord and in searching the Scriptures, absolutely. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Whether it was Ronald Reagan or whether going back to our founders or all the way back to the first century, men and women whose faith was in the Word of God have always said it, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.